Several times during this tape, the patient mentions names. In each case, I have substituted a brief silence for the name. The coughing that you'll hear throughout the session is because he has a low-grade upper respiratory infection, which has been hanging. On for quite some period.
So, I forgot a dream I had probably a month ago in which I was in a plane. I don't remember most of the dream except that I had assumed that the pilot was a man, but in the dream it turned out to be a woman. Though she was a woman. She was probably in her 50s. Short, grayish hair. You know, so she was not a senior citizen, but she was up there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it was after the flight
when I saw her talking to somebody, and she was the pilot.
And in the dream, it was kind of like, it was a revelation. It was not a revelation. It was like, whoa, she was the pilot.
Uh-huh.
And I don't remember all the dream, but I woke up thinking to myself, my father's not in the front of the plane. Or something like that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That whole thing about my father flying the airplane. If I could only, remember the claustrophobia? I used to always think, if I could only go up to the front.
Sure.
And everything would be okay.
Sure.
And now I look in those planes I go in, the front, it's like sitting in a tuna can.
Yes, it
you know,
is.
It's like, you know, how I could ever imagine that would like break the intensity. I have no idea. But I don't remember all the details of that dream, but that part I remember.
Oh, boy.
I don't know what else is new. There's bound to be something, but what it is, I have no idea. Except I am going to China. I told you that, didn't I?
You're going to China when?
October 17th.
For 2 weeks?
For... It'll be two Tuesdays. I think the 17th is a Tuesday. It's 17 and 24.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, those two.
Okay. All set. Marked down.
There you go. Whew. I could sleep through this one today. Like I tell myself, just lay there. I'll do the work. So I'll just lay here. You do the work. You're not buying this.
No.
No. Huh. Okay. Any questions?
No.
This patient has been with me the longest of any of the four you will hear at this website. However, there are still a number of problems with this sound. First, the sound should be approximately 0.15 seconds. He is taking about three times that long, roughly 0.45 seconds. Secondly, he still has the post-sound breath sound. That is, you can still hear the throat sound following the exhale. third, he also adds a guttural to his sound. That is, you can almost hear a UGH, an UG sound, that accompanies his ah sound. Finally, this is still an articulated sound. It still has that definite beginning point.
Ah. 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 Ah.
Soften the sound.
After I tell him to soften the sound and then illustrate that softer sound for him, you will note that his breathing then becomes a rather a sequence of exhales. This is simply because of the shaking that starts almost immediately in his body, the tonic-clonic movements, which are primarily in the legs, but do affect that his breath is not a single exhale, but is a series of minor exhales.
Ah.
In the ah sound you're about to hear, it is taking only about 0.30 seconds, which is really quite acceptable. However, the post-exhale breath sound is another 0.3 seconds.
Ah. 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 Basket around. Ah, whoa, man. Oh, no wastebasket?
No, there's no wastebasket in this. But I did remember to buy a new box of Kleenex.
My breathing is extremely shallow today.
Well, I just kind of squelched it a little bit there because I could have puked.
Okay.
It came up really strong.
All right.
Like I felt like if I took one more breathe, it would, you know, that's what it felt like.
Uh-huh.
Whether that would have happened or not, I don't know.
An interesting thing about this fellow is his tendency to say ha, H-A, rather than ah, A-H. For all the years he's been with me and for all the times I have corrected this mispronunciation on his part, in the next three breaths on this tape, and we are only slightly over 8 minutes into the session, you will hear the first sound of A-H, ah, the second sound of kind of an H-A, kind of in the middle of A-H and H-A, and by the third sound, you sing H-A again. In the breathing that follows, you'll hear him periodically change from AH to HA and then back to AH.
I haven't had puke in 2 years.
Ooh. Too hard?
I could puke.
All right.
I can tell. There's really something going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I will bring my own wastebasket.
That's all right.
I just don't want to puke on the floor. So I feel like The Exorcist.
Okay. Like, well, yeah. Return to normal breathing. I'll let you monitor it. Since I'll call out the exercise.
Okay. Better. Yeah, if it starts to.
If it starts to do something, just stop it. No doubt you have noticed that from almost the start of this session, the coughing notwithstanding, His exhale has been a series of short gasp exhales as ha-ha-ha-ha-ha, ha-ha-ha-ha-ha. The reason why the exhales are in that form is because almost immediately when he starts the session, the jerking starts in his body. In a footnote in the book, I gave you the medical terms for these, which are these jerkings, which is myoclonic or tonicoclonic movements. Further, the reason why he starts almost immediately with these movements or jerking is because he's breathing at about 14 breaths per minute, which allows him to quickly start to hyperventilate or enter a state of hyperventilation, which then produces the shaking in the body, provided the person is sufficiently comfortable to allow it, which is one of the reasons why patients when they first start, or people when they first start in this therapy, do not show this kind of, usually do not show this kind of jerking movement. Aside from that, you may also have noted that there is a post exhale breath sound or throat sound. It is nowhere near as predominant nor as extended as present in other people on this website, but it is still present.
Shrug shoulders.
This one?
Yeah.
I have now told him to do the shrug the shoulders exercise. And, not to be critical, you're going to hear a sequence of errors that he makes in doing this exercise. The first is that instead of a single ah sound followed by a continuing exhale followed by another ah sound as the shoulders are shrugged or thrown down, you're going to hear that he continues the ah sound throughout the whole sequence of shrug up and throw down. You'll also hear that it becomes entirely guttural. It's no longer an ah, it's a ah sound. And finally, you're going to hear that he hits or emphasizes or punches the first of each of the ah sounds that he makes, which again is not appropriate. Getting considerably better on the exercise performance as he goes along. He's now tending to properly have an initial ah sound followed by a normal exhale followed by another ah sound, whereas before he was making one continuous ah sound and simply emphasizing it periodically. Ha 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 That opened your chest nicely, didn't it? This is a fellow with that long, thin thoracic cavity. Over the years, gradually, his chest shape has changed, being more rounded and full. However, it is still significantly locked, and especially so in the upper one-third to one-half. After apparently opening his chest with the shrug the shoulders exercise, I then use the technique that I present in the book of placing my two hands across his chest with thumbs touching and fingers locked against the side to see if the chest has in fact opened. You might also note as the tape goes forward that he continues to say ha, H-A, rather than ah, A-H. I don't generally call this to his attention because I've done it so many times over the years that the fact that he still continues to say H-A rather than A-H must indicate a very strong defensive need on his part. Whatever its meaning, and one could easily overinterpret it to say he's laughing at me, ha ha ha, rather than ah ah ah, no further identification or correction for him on this issue is going to yield any results. So, except for very rarely, I just leave it.
Ah. Ah. Nothing?
Just the tiniest speck, about a 32nd of an inch. But that's where we're working on those chest muscles.
Feels like more than that.
Mm-hmm. It looks like more than that, but it isn't. I'll work on, like we worked last week on the chest muscles, work again on it.
Ah.
I would call to your attention that on this tape, as on the other three tapes on this site, there is usually a considerable period, several minutes, perhaps more, between exercises. That is, once I have disrupted the system with an exercise, I let it settle back down to its normal or homeostatic state before I disrupt it again. This is an application of the principle I laid down in the book and repeated many times of always too slowly. It is far better to let the patient relax, or yourself in your work, relax back to a normal state before you try and stress yourself again with a further exercise. The loud sounds you're about to hear are pain sounds resulting from my using the device in figure 135 in the book on his intercostal muscles, that is, the muscles between the ribs. Since these muscles are quite small, work on them is often considerably painful. Pressure, you know it. Come on.
Oh, man.
get an interesting change. After I've used pressure on his intercostal muscles with one of the gougers I show in the book, then he spontaneously changes from the HA, which he's been using, to AH. So, apparently, whatever that defensive system is, it's tied into his chest, which is really quite reasonable.
Any new patients.
Won't get me any new patients.
Except for the really weird ones. And kinky women. Puking blocks the crying.
The puking blocks the crying, yes. Yeah, I can see the crying in your mouth. Want me to get that subcostalis again?
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Something I don't talk about in the book. What I have just asked the patient is, does he want me to work on the subcostalis muscle again? A pressure point that he actually enjoys. I don't discuss the subcostalis in the book for two reasons. One, it would require a whole anatomy lesson in addition to the anatomy I already have there. And second, the only way to work on the subcostalis muscles is by thumb pressure. So it's not something I would expect would be that much utility to have put into the book.
Can't come right back. Subcostalis muscles are definitely loosening.
I can feel my throat breaking down as we work today. I can feel the difference. It's subtle. It's incremental, but I can feel it. I can feel it ever so slightly in the breath, too. There's a little mechanism I've always done, like 90% of the time, which is a little glitch that occurs before my exhale. A little hold. And part of the time today, I didn't do it. And I could tell the difference.
Yeah.
Just those few spasms that I had in my body were much deeper.
Yeah, there are all kinds of subtle ways that the body defends against the work.
Counseling session yesterday with an employee of mine. Not, she doesn't work for me. She just is a peer. And I have to work with her directly because she does our billing. But she's a very obsessed. I don't know if she's obsessive or compulsive, but she's one of those things where she just has to, you know, just can't let up. But she's very productive, and she also has big issues with invisibility.
With what?
Invisibility.
Oh, so, okay.
And so she walks in yesterday. We always meet on Mondays, and she considers me a friend. I think she's actually been hot for me for some time. I don't find her. She's a nice person. I don't find her attractive at all. I'm not interested. But I know that's there. I can tell it. I give it no openings, no nothing. And she comes in. She says, well, and I just want to let you know that I have separated from my husband. Now, she wasn't, I don't believe she was telling me that to say I'm available. She's telling me that to say, so there's stuff going on, and it's a tough time for me. We started talking, and because I know her, and because I figure myself, God, the guy's probably got to get away from this broad, you know, that I have some context of a little bit of what may be going on. So I was real focused, asked her specific questions, she told me things, and I told her what I thought, and the whole thing culminates with the issues were, they've been married 21 years, he was very religious when she married him, he kind of put it on the back burner through most of the relationship, not maybe in his mind, but didn't go to church, didn't do this. She's a very kind of lefty, rational person who can't fathom the idiocy of his beliefs kind of thing. Uh-huh. She doesn't say it, but that's what she really means.
Mm-hmm.
And what she went ballistics on, and where they had this big fight where he said, I'm got to leave, I'm going to separate, was that he announced he was going back to church and he was going to tithe 10% of his money.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. And she's such a control freak and such an invisible freak,
mm-hmm.
and all this other crap, that she went nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you don't talk to me. Oh, you never watch textings out with me. Oh, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I manipulated the whole thing around and through this whole thing, she did listen to what I had to say.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say, da-da-da, and she'd go, well, that's a good point. Hmm, you know. And I said, so let's sum it up. He wants to go back to church, and he's going to tithe 10% of his money. Yeah. And she just started laughing. And she said, you know, wow. She said, there are all these other little things, but kind of stupid, huh? I said, yeah, pretty stupid. I said, so call him up. Tell him you're stupid. Just admit it. That's what you do in relationships. You don't run around saying how good you are. You say, I'm stupid. What a dummy I am. This is what I've been doing. If you want to, call him, tell him that. He'll probably come home. I was really good.
Well done, sir.
I was on, man. And I knew right from the beginning of this conversation that I was going to figure out what the hell is going on with her because she's so easy. She's so obvious and she's so corked up in her brain.
Uh-huh.
It was really fun. And then she calls me like 15 minutes later. She says, you know, I'm really mad at you. And I said, way to go. That's great. And she said, bye. She hung up the phone.
Uh-huh.
It was really good.
Uh-huh.
That was my thrill for the day. But my point is, if there is a point, I'm getting much more cognitive.
Uh-huh, sure.
In a very significant way.
Sure.
And those emotional outbursts that I've been prone to in my life are just significantly less.
Of course.
Again, I'm going to take advantage of what is, after all, a real occurrence in a real therapy session. But it is not unique, and it is exactly what I have spoken about in the book. As the therapy progresses, emotions become less and less controlling, and more you're able to deal cognitively with issues rather than emotionally. The patient here is saying no more than what I have repeatedly emphasized throughout the book, and is one of the major benefits of this type of therapy.
They are now impulses that I can most of the time, like 90% of the time, recognize.
Mm-hmm.
And just...
Mm-hmm.
It's really good.
Yeah.
And one of the key little issues, one of the key little occurrences, episodes, things that happen that was a telltale sign it was when I was contemplating Tennessee,
mm-hmm.
selling it.
Mm-hmm.
It's way back in April or May.
Yeah.
When I first started thinking about it, and I identified that I was there for mostly an emotional satisfaction and not a good reason. I really identified the difference between the two.
Uh-huh.
and that I just, there was an emotional when I'd get there, and I liked being alone. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't, but it wasn't meeting that emotional need anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It was a habitual, it was a habit.
Yes.
That I had. And a minor emotional need that had dissipated. And when I thought about it rationally, the pros and the cons, it was a slam dunk.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really nice. I cognitively split those things out, identified the difference between the two,
mm-hmm.
and made the decision.
Mm-hmm.
Realizing that sometimes I was going to feel bummed about it.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to miss it.
Mm-hmm.
My lawn, my yard.
Mm-hmm.
But that wasn't the point.
Right.
That was a biggie.
Yeah.
And that process just has gotten become more just a part of me.
Uh-huh.
More regular ability to break things down that way.
Yeah.
And it really helps in dealing with a woman, with people, but particularly with a wife.
Uh-huh.
Being able to let those two things be separate.
Mm-hmm.
So there's rarely a nee, nee, nee with her and me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't play off her like I might have 5 or 6 or 10 or 2 or 10, 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
There's always situations that present conflict, and I always used to grab them, take them, and try to win them. It's interesting. It's very it feels very healthy, but it feels in control.
It is.
In a good way.
Right. Right.
And it feels, there's an increase in confidence that comes from it.
That's correct.
Now I can tell there's still more confidence to come. I can feel that. I can tell.
In your chest.
In my chest.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. That's why I'm working so hard on that chest, yeah. Because the thing that's missing from your system right now, which you're approaching, as you just told me, but it is still missing, is the pride system.
Pride, yeah.
And the pride system is tied up in the chest.
Yeah, yeah. 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 But I can tell that it's on the horizon.
That's correct.
I can literally feel it.
Uh-huh.
It's on the horizon. It's,
yes. Uh-huh. Hmm. Yeah, when we break through and get some expansion in that chest.
Yeah.
You'll go through what you're accustomed to after all these years. You'll go through a period of disorganization or upset or dissonance, I guess the best word to say. But you're used to that. That's what happens in any transition period.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a conflict between the old and the new, and
right.
the kind of betwixt and between.
Right.
Ah.
Ah. I've also made another decision and set a goal, which is to leave my job in April.
April of next year.
April of next year.
Huh.
I'm it's early. I'm playing with that. It's not that I'm playing with it. I've kind of set the goal in the last 2 to 3 weeks. Let it bounce in there a little bit. Played with it a little bit. Thought about it. Worked with some of the usual reactions I have. usually focused on the monetary pluses of the job. And and we'll see. But like recently I thought, wow, what if I get a monstrous bonus in April? I, you know, fantasy. And I thought, no, that's going to be the goodbye present.
April is the April's the deadline, the goal. That gives me between now and then to contemplate alternatives. I was a very goal-oriented person. So I was cutting off new targets and doing them. And giving herself alternatives.
No.
Oh, thought you had a two.
I do.
Oh.
Using the gouger on his intercostal muscles and my thumbs on the subcostalis muscle, I'm now measuring the chest again with my two hands. As you'll hear, there is no difference. Occasionally, when this type of procedure is done with this patient in a session, we can get a major difference from virtually no expansion to as much as 3/4 of an inch of an expansion.
Wonderful.
Big difference, you said?
No difference.
No difference. Wow, that's amazing. Yeah. We're missing a muscle or something.
It'll happen. You had some expansion.
Yeah, a few times.
Yes. You have to stop the...
belly?
Yeah, stop the pushing up with the diaphragm, because that's what's... Even though you do use these neck muscles to breathe, the major problem is pushing up with the diaphragm.
Cut it out. Remove
it. I'd love
it.
To.
I don't need it.
Okay.
Hi-ya.
Drop your legs.
Are they working on this house or next door?
They're working next door. Look, I wasn't even aware of the pounding.
Huh.
It's all over the tape, no doubt, but I wasn't even aware of it.
Yeah, it's like loud.
Yeah.
You have no field, do you? No field perception. You're like, focused.
Yes, I'm focused, number one. When I'm in a session, I'm highly focused. Mm. But number two, genetically, I'm what's called field independent.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I meant. Mm-hmm. You told me that once before.
Yeah.
But I observe it every once in a while.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't exist. You know?
It's not that it doesn't exist. It's not your main.
Yeah.
But you seem not to perceive it.
Yeah, I mean, I do perceive it. It's obviously, in fact, my ears hurt it, but
yeah.
It did not command.
Doesn't compute.
Yeah, or it's just it's just something out there.
It doesn't command any attention.
Right.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Report?
Got a cough. I think my throat tightened up. In response to relaxing. I got a lot of jingles and tingles in my hands, up my arms, my forearms, my biceps, my shoulders, around my shoulders, shoulder blades, a lot of tingling, a lot of sensation. My pecs, and around the diaphragm, around the pecs, I said that, I mean around the, right in here, underneath. My quads, feet, calves, ankles, lower legs below my calves, a lot of tingling in my feet, the bottom of my feet, my neck, up around my back, up around my head, I mean, up around the back of my head, around my ears, back area, just very, ever so subtly in the back of the temples. rather than, it's almost a tightening in my temples, in my forehead and temple. It hasn't quite become a tingle. It's a tightening. It's a dense wave, small dense wave, in my forehead and my temples, and up above my forehead, a little bit up into the front part of my skull. Almost a subtle headache, but it's not a headache. My nose, my sinuses feel very dense. My cheekbones have waves and tingles, and my cheeks, little bit in my jaw, little bit in my lips. My nose tingles, very subtle tingles.
Do a couple, breathe through the lips, exhales.
Those?
Yes. Jingles now in your mouth and lips and chin.
They're more. They're like 50% increased. They haven't gone wild, but they've intensified. They've also intensified in my hands. my hands, my fingers. It's more intense back around the back of my head.
Yeah, remind me, we need to do more of that, because it's actually a very, very powerful exercise.
Yeah, the few times I've done it, it really bam.
Yeah, it's an extremely powerful exercise. For some reason, I don't think of it that often.
Yeah, it's also quite easy for me to do, which is cool. So it's one I can just go with it.
Mm-hmm.
I can do it at home. I do it at home every once in a while. Because it's a very pleasurable one for me.
Mm-hmm. Okay, sir. Stretching up.